listening to Super Gamecast Daily every single Monday through Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am Bronson Fiore, joined by Mr. Duncan Crabtree.
That's me.
That's a you?
That's a me.
Duncan.
Duncan.
Yeah. How you doing today, good sir?
I'm doing great. I played video games this weekend, and that was good.
All right. Well, yep.
As we do here.
I wanted to play video games on Friday night, specifically a certain Monster Hunter beta. But sadly, it related to our first news story. The PlayStation Network was down. And it was down
24 hours.
24 whole hours. Combined with those 24 hours, though, they did not say why. They did not indicate what happened. They did not say if it was a hacker group, a DDoS, it could have been a million things, and they said nothing. But what they are doing is, hey, if you have PlayStation Network, then we're going to give you 5 free days of service. So
they 5x'd their losses there. They didn't go, okay, you get a free day of service because you lost a free day of service. You get 5 free days of service. So you got to give props for that.
I'm conflicted because I'm just like, yes, that's technically true, but that costs them like nothing.
Yeah, no,
that's like
I pay my bills 5 days later when I pay my subscription cost 5 days later. Basically, is what it's gonna feel like.
So y'all, cool. I get to pay my bill 5 days later. Thank you.
Yeah. And how dare they? For a whole 24 hours to remove access to video games.
This does bring in like a broader conversation of, yo dog, hey, it really sucks that even a lot of physical consoles and media are tied to working internet.
Yeah, could we maybe have some games that don't need me to be connected all the time? I mean, you know, we still get them, but it's becoming more and more prevalent that I just cannot play my game if PlayStation Network goes down for 24 hours.
And the thing is, it's like most of the time this isn't a big deal. It has been a big deal about 3 times this year for me so far. In the past 365 days, anyway, because they had an outage last year. Yes, totally. If I don't get my daily dose of video games, I just turn into even more of a horrible goblin man.
Yeah, I actually melt. If I don't get an injection of video games within 24 hours, my limbs slowly tear from my body. I melt.
Yeah, no, if you don't play video games, it's bad for you guys. You should know that.
Yeah. Catastrophic, even. It's a worldwide pandemic, lack of access to video games, similar to the crisis of not having access to water.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm just picturing, like, this exact commercial, but, like, with the Sarah McLachlan in the arms of an angel. Just sad, little, dirty children, like, with a controller in front of them.
Yeah, and, like, an empty Bloodborne case.
Yeah, exactly. it was down for 5 days. So, you know, missed 12 hours last year, missed 24 hours this time around. And I'm not going to lie, this feels kind of unacceptable considering we're paying for the service.
Yeah, it's not ideal. Not a good thing.
And they're tying many single player games to it. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy, this shit. No, man, like, I get it from a publisher standpoint, it's more secure, and they want to kill used games somehow, some way, and this is how they're slowly doing it.
Pretty effectively at that.
Yes, no, well, I mean, we had that news story last year where Capcom, 90% of their games are bought digitally.
Yeah, I mean, I buy all my games digitally, and I totally shouldn't.
PlayStation's the only thing I have left that I buy hard copy. Everything else I buy digitally.
Yeah, It's just so inconvenient. I gotta go over there. I gotta wait for like the game to, I just want to play it right now. Hit button. Hit button.
Monster Hunter has been the first one I've reconsidered to buying digitally just because of the fact that I want it's a live service game, so it's not like me having a disc matters.
I've considered buying Pokemon games physically on the Switch. Even though I've already bought them digitally, because I want to, like, what do you do with Pokemon games after you're done playing with them? In my case, I can only think to put them in like a glass case and never touch them again.
Okay.
And I need a physical copy to do that.
I actually price checked a bunch of old Pokemon stuff I have, and I legitimately probably have 2 grand of Pokemon games just sitting in my closet.
Oh yeah, it's insane. It's unreasonable. I mean, what, a copy of Pokemon Emerald? It's like $200.
No, like I was looking up those copies of Silver, like 150 a piece. But
Yeah.
yeah, so I don't know. I'm like trying to get. And then I was without internet for like almost 48 hours during my Christmas break,
That's
which,
long enough to go through video game withdrawals. A
yes,
deadly scenario.
yeah, no, it was. But shout out to Microsoft. They only let you. They only make you check in once every 30 days on the Xbox PC app. So I was still able to play Indiana Jones. So shout out to
Okay. All
Microsoft,
right. In an
which.
emergency situation.
Yeah, Xbox got you. Sony did not. We had this
Yeah,
24-hour outage.
they're providing real care.
Yeah. Okay. So the next news story that's related to this thing. Hey, the Monster Hunter Wilds open beta test 2 is going to be extended on PlayStation specifically. So basically, the beta that's happening next week is going to be extended 24 hours from Monday at 3 a.m. to Tuesday at 3 a.m. because of the 24 hours of no PSN. So,
Yeah.
this is a good on Capcom. They could have very well told PlayStation players to just go pound rocks. They
Right.
can, I'll give them some props for this.
Yeah, it's nice. One less day, you should get another day. I won't play game.
I want to hunt big
And
monster.
it obviously also serves their purposes because like the beta test isn't a real like test of if the game works. It's a you should buy this game.
It's like you get a little bit of data, but it's not the full-on
Okay, but the
reason.
data you're getting is almost always just server testing.
Yes.
Like, that's the only real thing that they're accomplishing. It's like 90% though, like a demo. It's like a demo for the game. And get hype. Get hype about the game. The game's good, guys.
Well, one, they succeeded because I'm very hyped. I was not
You
nearly as
are.
hyped, but so they succeeded on that front. But on the other side, it's like, I don't know, I've seen enough bad launches due to server capacity over the past over a decade, like decade and a half, that I'm like, no, this is good. Almost all games should be doing
Yeah.
this. Oh.
Yeah, certainly. Bad server launches are a
Yeah.
problem. I feel like they're lessening overall, though. I feel like most things are getting better on their launch days.
Yes, I agree, but I still have like Diablo 3 PTSD of like the entire like
Yeah.
first week of the game coming out, it just not functioning for most people.
I remember I was quite angry and a child, so that amplified the level of angry I was.
I was in college, so I was like, cool, this gives me time to catch up to everybody. Ha
Yeah,
ha ha.
it certainly was not what it was like for me.
Fair. This is a cool thing. Hey, if y'all haven't played this beta yet, it's pretty good. I think the game is pretty good. I had a blast. I have been up and down with the Monster Hunter franchise over the years. I love World. I did not like Rise. This has me stoked.
I've never played a Monster Hunter game and not pretty much just liked it. The only ones I've ever finished, like completely finished, was 3 and World. I say finished. I beat all the monsters.
World is the only one I finished, so I mean, there you go. I know that I will say that we had a hilarious moment where we beat the hardest monster in the beta in under 10 minutes on our first try. Me, my girlfriend,
Nice.
Aaron, and my girlfriend's brother. I don't know if this was a
Nice.
glitch or not, but we kept getting wounds on the wing, and I was just standing there hitting burst wound attack over and over and over
Nice.
again.
Are they gonna bring Legaia Chris back?
I do not have word on that. I'm sorry.
It seems probably.
Okay.
Yes, 3 months ago, Legaia Chris will return to Wilds. Okay.
Oh, God.
I'm in. I'm in. I like Legaia Chris.
I am down to hunt all big monsters.
I like my lightning snake boy.
Yeah, okay, let me sell this to you. How do you feel about a lightning dragon boy?
I bought my lightning snake back though.
Well, okay, what about a rock snake?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like a rock snake. I could use.
Right,
I'll take a rock snake.
there's a rock
I've got
snake.
enough dragons. I've got a large variety of dragons.
Alright, well, we got a rock snake in this beta,
Okay.
so
All right.
you got a
Okay.
rock.
I like the snake monsters. They move weird. Oh, are they gonna bring back the bugs? There's no way they're bringing the bugs back.
What, like the zip bugs from Rise?
Yeah, they no. There used to be bug monsters. But they've only ever done it once because they have like a completely unique model. So in case you don't know about Monster Hunter reuses super heavily. It's part of why they're so economical to make is that they make the rig for the monster and it lasts like four games. It's really easy to reuse old monsters, which is how they can just keep increasing their roster of monsters. The issue with the bugs is that they have a completely unique and fucked up weird like skeleton that makes them completely different to animate than every other monster, and there's very few of them, so they just never did them again. They were cool.
Huh. Well, interesting. So, good on Capcom for doing this. Sony, get your network shit together, please. The love of God.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's
Or
the.
don't. Or don't and give us more news to feed us news juice.
You know, if they want to. I feel like they should try and feed us good press. But, you know, I guess that could work too. You know.
Listen, good, bad, I'm hungry. I hunger.
For the
Give me some
news.
news juice.
Yeah, and if you like news juice this much, hey, you should subscribe and follow us
Absolutely. Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
and like. Yeah, you should do all those things and comment and help feed us to Algorithmor
Yeah.
so we can get spread amongst the stars. Yeah.
Unlike what director Hideki Kamiya would like you to do with the Wii version of Okami.
Yeah, no, so he had a pretty, like, kind of harsh take about this.
Yeah.
So speaking of Capcom, and Okami here, director Hideki Kamiya has told players he doesn't recommend the Wii version of the game. It was originally developed by
Yeah.
Clover Studios on the PS2. He served as the director. But the game was released on the Wii 2 years later and ported by a studio called Ready at Dawn. And that it was kind of seen as the best version of the game because instead of painting with an analog stick, you painted by moving your hand. Like that's how you use the celestial brush. Ready at Dawn
But he
talked
don't
about the
like it.
challenges of the port. Oh, sorry, what'd you say?
I said, but he don't like it. He didn't make that version. That's not his.
Yes, that is not his. And you know, they said that Ready at Dawn said they had to reverse engineer the game, and Kamiya was not happy about this.
Yeah.
A follower sent Kamiya a message on X telling him they started playing Okami HD on PC. The follower asked Kamiya if he recommended playing the Wii version instead of playing the PC version. And he says, The Wii version is not the original. I made the PS2 version. If you're gonna play it now, the best version is the HD version. Personally, I don't want you to play the Wii version.
Don't, he says, don't play it.
I'm like,
And
wow.
I think I understand this take. I think I understand this take because deep in his soul, Okami was at one point, like all games made by game makers, his baby. And you have very strong opinions when you work so hard on something like that about little thing that other people probably don't notice. That I feel like don't come out of the woodworks until people really spend like a long time analyzing your game years later. I think a good example would be Halo Anniversary when it came out. How like people were like fine with it when it came out. And like in hindsight, it's just a downgrade from Halo 1. It looks worse. It's a worse looking game because they didn't capture the spirit of the original art direction in their designs across the board there. And I think there's probably a lot of things in the Wii version of Okami that Hideki Kamiya looks at and feels that way about. That being said, I believe you have played Okami, and I
I
haven't.
have. I so one, you should play those games. If we had time, I would say we should do a let's play of that game because it's spectacular. So for a
I've had it
long time.
described to me as three Legend of Zelda games, just like subsequently after each other.
Yeah, that's a pretty good, like, it's three 3D Zeldas with like a really dope lore and art style all mishmashed together. And the thing about that game is I played it on the PS2 and I played it on the Wii and I've played it on the PS3. And so I'm kind of so I actually think the PS2 version is the worst version of the game.
So Hideki Kamiya has to kill you.
Yeah, probably. He probably would not be pleased with me saying this.
Right.
And the reason I say that the PS2 version of is the worst version of the game is because that game in HD looks incredible. Like, it looks super crisp, but like playing that game in 4K on my PS5 or on my computer is like, whoa, holy crap.
I
Because
mean,
I
the
do
thing I
have.
know most about the game is that it's very pretty.
Yeah, like that game benefits from HDR so unbelievably hard. So there's that. And then I think just that game with motion controls fits really well. I think the painting, like drawing the circle, drawing the whatever with the Wiimote is actually like genuinely really goddamn cool. So I agree with him that if you're gonna play it today, yeah, like I would probably play it on PC or a modern consoles because that's what has the really good frame rate and the really pretty visuals. But like, if you're gonna go back to one of the SD ones, like, yeah, dude, do the Wii one. I don't know. I get that he is proud of his baby, and he should be. That game is awesome. But this is a way that they improved your baby that was not possible on the PS2. Like, that's, Ready at Dawn did a really good job there, though. I'm not sure if you remember this controversy back then when that thing came out. It had an IGN watermark on the box.
I had heard this. I had heard that it notoriously had an IGN watermark on the box.
They have
How
this.
did that happen? What is the deal with that?
They apparently made the box art for the game, and it like they probably pulled it from IGN when they were getting
They
the
just ripped it.
assets. Yeah, and they just yeah, it
There is
has
they
a
didn't leave
watermark.
any of the original art behind. I have to find the original art. It's on the IGN website, and they just rip it.
Yeah, now to be fair, you really gotta look for it. Like, hold on, let me pull up the image here. You really gotta look for it. But yeah, there you go. There you go. You got that old IGN logo.
That's hilarious.
It's It's really good.
That is pretty
I
good.
don't know. It seems like that was done at a studio that did not have a lot of money at the time.
Yeah, I mean, you like they described, they had to reverse engineer the game
Yeah.
because they were evidently not cooperated with when it came to porting it.
Yep.
And I mean, Kamiya clearly feels something about that, and that might not even be from a creative perspective. It might be that he just hates those guys.
She's like, "How dare you touch my baby? How dare
Not
you?"
even just what if he like had a weird argument with one of them in an office and now he hates it forever? That's a possibility. We don't know these people.
That's true. And I mean, to be fair, I mean, he let, I mean, he was, I want to say he was out of Capcom and Clovers by the time
Yeah.
these dudes were doing that port, but that's still like, and also Kamiya is like known to be quick to block people on Twitter, so who knows? He might be that way in real life. We don't know.
I just think that's the funniest reality in which Kamiya just really hates a guy and doesn't want you to play the game on the thing that that guy touched.
Yes, like no, fuck him. I don't care if it's good. Fuck him. Fuck this one
Do the
guy in
worst
particular.
one to fuck that guy over. I hate that guy.
Yeah. I can see Hideki Kamiya as petty. I can see it.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, he's kind of proud of how petty he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's talked to people at conventions about like he's like, I love how big my block list is. It's good.
I want to meet that man. He's on, he is like
Yeah, he'd be a good
on,
one to meet.
he's on my list of like developers I would love to sit and interview.
Yeah. Speaking of Ready at Dawn, though,
Yes, speaking of the Ready at Dawns,
they are also known for having made the Order 1886,
they
and
did.
the co-founder of the company recently got a little more open and discussed a failed sequel pitch for the Order 1886.
Yeah, so Ready at Dawn put out the Order 1886, and they, you know, it wasn't well received. They, you know, they thought, you know, they said they needed more time, they needed an additional year to work on it. Sony was like, no, we need this out now. We need this out. Well, honestly, we need this out yesterday.
As
Well,
is the role of publishers to scream at you to do it faster.
yes, because you know, if you bake a cake at 1,300 degrees, it'll get done in 15 minutes instead of an hour.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Yep.
Try it.
Yep,
You
do
at
it.
home, try it.
Yep. So, but it had a Metacritic of 63. Their mock reviews said it would do way higher in the 70s. And his theory is he doesn't think it was the sales. He think it was the critical reception. Sony is a very proud group, and rightfully so. And the critical reception, if it had just been in the 70s, we would have had the sequel. I'm convinced. Just a few points more, and it would have been okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
I do think that Sony cares a lot about their critical reception. I think
Yes, 100%.
that they want to be known for making really good games. And
Yep.
I could definitely see that killing the Order 1886. I only remember friends of mine making fun of it when it came out. It doesn't actually seem that terrible.
It's very
But
mid. It is
definitely
one of the most mid games I've ever played.
that's how people made fun of it, is that it was the most like, yeah, white bread kind of game. You know,
And it was like a
you
cool
didn't,
idea,
and you're
like
like,
steampunk fighting werewolves.
I've played a game. I won't die today. I've gotten my once every 24 hours video game infusion. So at least there's that, but it just doesn't taste good.
Yeah, I remember playing that game when it came out, and it was out. So we had a review copy for it, but I wasn't the one reviewing it. The person reviewing it gave it a 9 out of 10. And I was like, wow, really? Oh, okay. And then I remember I picked it up after release, and I was like, this is the most 5.5 to 6 out of 10 I have ever played. Ever.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm switching up on you, actually. Now I'm sure it is a 9 out of 10, and you're biased against werewolves.
Okay,
How dare
sure.
you?
How dare I? How dare I?
Yeah, it was actually such an incredible game. One that I've not played, but I'm sure I would have given it a 9 if I played it.
Okay. All right. Sure. I
And you
don't
can't prove me otherwise. I will never play it so that you can never prove me otherwise.
This just sounds like every argument on the internet ever.
Yeah, that's true. It does sound like me winning, just like every argument I've ever had on the internet. Ever.
Nah, man. I think that this is I think this was kind of the start of the downfall of that studio. Like that
Yeah.
studio had like a series of bangers on the PSP and that Okami port, which reviewed well, and then this came out and it did
Yeah.
not do well, and then they had another game that did really poorly, and then they had a like and then they had a
Yeah.
VR game that did really well. And then just a bunch of subsequent VR games that just did worse and worse and worse.
But a VR game does well, okay? It doesn't, it does well as in it does a lot of VR installs, which isn't as many installs as you would want for the game to actually have.
So I am saying does well by reviews well. Excuse me.
Yes, reviews well, certainly. But a big part of the issue with the whole VR space was that, it's just not enough people in it. As someone who loves VR myself, yeah, that's definitely a problem. I mean, if you play multiplayer VR games regularly, you're gonna run into the same guys. That's even for the popular games.
Yeah, I could totally see that 100%.
Yeah.
I play like the same 5 games in VR, so you know,
Yeah,
but
and Echo Arena, it was popular and it was getting a competitive scene, and then it just kind of suddenly got shut down. And it doesn't even seem to be the fault of the studio. It's just that Oculus, which was owned by Meta, just closed it because they were like, yeah, we don't want to do it.
I don't know. Real funny thing about this Order 1886 story though is Sony is like the release date is non-negotiable, and they're like, yeah, we just had to keep cutting stuff. A lot of the more subtle narrative parts were lost. So much was chopped away, and things were and that things that were supposed to be interactive became a movie. We needed another year in reality, he added. We needed at least one more year. We didn't, so we were like, cut, 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 cut. Which that's kind of what that game feels like, because it just feels as bare bones as humanly possible.
Yeah,
Like,
and if it had that other year, it would have outsold GTA 5 certainly.
I mean, they may, you know, I don't think it would have done that, but I do look at the other games these dudes made, and I think, like, yeah, I think if it had another year, it probably would have been a lot better.
Yeah, no, it probably would have done actually fine if it had another year, realistically speaking. I mean, Sony's done this before though. They've worked with studios and they've, forced them to work on a scale that really they just aren't equipped to do. And it's another victim of that behavior.
Yeah, no, it is the you know, and to be fair, Sony like has a but at the same time, Sony has a certain quality standard a lot of the time, and if you don't
Yeah.
make it, you get shot in the face. Or in this case, you get let go and we never work with you again, and well, you go make VR games, I guess, and then you get shot in the
Go
face.
make VR games. Yeah.
If... All right, well, that's already done.
But that's what happened to them, in case you were wondering, Ready at
Yep.
Dawn fans out there. I know there's so many of you.
If you had a PSP like I did and you loved the PSP, you pro I was actually a huge fan of them because they made like
Well,
three.
me and my fellow 1886ers,
Yep.
the strong and powerful fan base that we are. We love Ready at Dawn, and we were devastated back in 2020. It was the most relevant news story, period. Nothing else was going on that mattered in 2020.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at
No,
all.
nothing at all was important in 2020.
Nothing. Nope. Just Ready at Dawn.
Yep.
But you know what's important?
What?
Diablo.
I'd say Diablo is one of those games that's important in the grand scheme of video games. In the
Yeah, you know,
history of the video game industry, it's very important.
It's a series that's deeply important to me. I grew up playing Diablo. It's one of the first games I ever played. Me and my father, we played Diablo together when I was but a child, and it's still the only game he plays at all.
I definitely have people I know like that who used to be in the games, and then they became adults post college and became Diablo players. That's
Yeah,
all they
he plays
play.
Diablo and he plays Halo and he doesn't play other video games.
Yeah, this
And
guy just
that's
plays
what he
Diablo
plays.
though, but yeah, I know the person you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, the creator of Diablo 1 and 2 has some things to say about modern Diablo and modern ARPGs in general. He says
The one
fast le
Mr. David Brevik.
yes he says fast leveling up in modern ARPGs cheapens the entire experience. He thinks the focus on speedy progression on today's RPGs make a worse experience. In an interview with Video Gamer, David Brevik, who was a senior designer and lead programmer on Diablo and design lead on Diablo 2, criticized the modern take on the genre for rewarding players too quickly. One of the main criticisms leveled at Diablo 3, which Brevik didn't work on, is that players can reach max level in 3 to 4 hours, depending on how they play the game, much faster than previous games in the series. According to Brevik, the pace of Diablo 2 is, quote, great because it takes the player longer to level up, arguing that slower progression makes it more satisfying when you reach that point, and too many ARPGs are more focused on leveling up players faster. When you're shortening the journey and making it kind of ridiculous, you cheapen the entire experience, and saying that the fun in an ARPG is actually getting to the end isn't getting to the end. It's the journey. He also suggested while the Diablo games he worked on had moments where a lot of enemies would there were a lot of enemies to defeat, modern ARPGs focus on too much on throwing hordes of enemies at players and having them defeat en masse. I don't find that kind of person that kind of that. I don't find that as kind of personal and realistic like Diablo 2. The pacing on Diablo 2 is great. That's one of the reasons it endured. I don't find killing screens full of things instantly and mowing stuff down and walking around the level and killing everything very enticing. It just feels like that. I just don't feel that is a cool experience. It just is. I find it kind of silly. Yeah, sorry.
I think that I kind of agree with this. I think I've played more Diablo 3 than any of the other games I've played in the Diablo series, despite it being my least favorite. I'd say even Diablo 4 I like more than I like Diablo 3. But I played a ton of it, and it definitely had this issue where you're not actually playing the game until you've maxed your character out. And so whenever, I mean, we would get like friends over to play with us and we would power level them in over the course of an afternoon to the end game. And I mean, we would just go from there because like, yeah, the story of the game doesn't fucking matter. Everything that's going on is irrelevant. You get the big shiny drop and then you look at it and you judge whether or not it's a good drop. And that's all the game actually was. So you were here to do that, not to see what's going on with this lady. Is she going to turn into Diablo? Yes, she is.
I think that I kind of agree with this. And while I'm not as much in the ARPG space, though I do think this is a big part of why PoE has become more popular than Diablo, is this exact
Yeah.
thing, and why games like Monster Hunter are also getting more popular, and why WoW Classic endures, and why RuneScape endures, is like
Yeah.
it's a journey. Like, it's not just okay. Because, like, I talked with friends about this where they like WoW Classic more because modern WoW is like beeline the level cap as hard and as soon as you possibly can so you can play the real game of doing these same 12 dungeons until you do them perfectly, doing raiding, doing PvP, doing delves. Like, it's not so much an adventure RPG D&D experience as it is like, I don't know,
Yeah.
like a combat spreadsheet simulator.
Yeah, it's a mutual activity more heavily than it is like an experience. And I mean, you mentioned RuneScape for scale. RuneScape took me 10 years to reach a level cap on.
Means
That is not a game that you reach that
that is not
quickly.
that that's probably a bit too much in the other direction. That's
Despite
ten.
the fact that you can reasonably do it in a few months, I think, and the end game is also completely inaccessible until you do it. Like you actually do have to hit near level cap on your combat stats to engage in the in-game content there. It's a very unique scenario. But yeah, I think that long-term journey that you experience in something like Diablo 2, which Diablo 2, you're effectively going to beat that game 3 times before you reach a level cap. And if you're not getting like somehow power leveled by another player, which I think you're a lot less likely to do in Diablo 2, you're a lot more likely to engage with that game and like okay, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna actually play through the game and hit level cap in a natural fashion. If you're a bit more of a veteran player, you might go, oh, I'm gonna grind at this period because I know that there's a drop here that's gonna make the rest of the game significantly easier. Things get more efficient, but you're just gonna play through the game. You play through the main story.
I mean, and I do think that I do think that like I look back on WoW in the old days, that was the same thing, right? Where like if you go play vanilla WoW on a fresh server right now, then yeah, like yeah, it's totally that like it's gonna take you 3 or 4 months to hit cap. Real for most people, like if you have a job and you're not just living there poop socking it, fucking full degen life. And I think that
I
if
poop
you're
sock at work, so too busy poop socking elsewhere.
there you go. But if you're just going full ham on it, then I would say that if you're not doing that, yeah, like 3 to 4 months, and like you're not gonna just like stop and farm places outside of like very specific points. Like I can think of like, okay, you're probably gonna farm Scarlet Monastery for a couple of weapons that make mid game a lot easier. Like there's a couple
I'm gonna
of
complete this quest early, even though I'm maybe unleveled for it, because I get a thing that makes leveling much easier for this entire period of time, so I'll engage with this hard piece of content.
Right. Like I play Warrior in vanilla, and I know at level 30 I get my class quest. That most of the time you realistically can't complete until level 37, but I'll go beg somebody I know to please come help me with this.
It's like a powerful elemental, right? Like you have to go fight a powerful
That's the end
elemental.
of it.
Absolutely fuck you up otherwise.
Yeah, so
I've heard about this because of learning things about hardcore WoW recently, and that being a really big moment for warriors that reach that level.
yeah, so like, but you know, I go and I get help with it. And getting that axe at like level 32 is like such a huge like carry for you for the back half of the game. But yeah, like I think that it's the same thing. Like it was a lot more about the journey. Like endgame's cool and raiding's cool, but what you end up doing is you log in for your raid twice a week and then you're done. You know, it's not like
Well, and when Vanilla WoW came out, and they did WoW Classic again, there was a huge shift in the content I saw about World of Warcraft posted online, where what I had never seen before, which was people making narrative style videos of reaching the level cap, for a given period of time. WoW Classic came out, and there was a whole genre of content that was guy going, this is my experience of getting from 1 to 60 or 1 to 50.
Right, because like, look, I play retail WoW, and the retail experience of going 1 to 80, which is the current cap, is like 1 to 70 goes super fast. Like you blink and it's practically over. And
Whoa,
then,
wait, the cap went down?
well, yeah, it went down like 5 expansions ago, dog, or 4 expansions ago. Like it went up.
Is I didn't know that. I played retail WoW when the cap was 100.
Okay, so the cap went up to 120, and then they were like, this shit needs to stop. And then they lowered it in Shadowlands down to 60, and then it's been creeping up again. But below 80 right now, it's like, yeah, like 1 to 70, like you can get done in like 15 hours. like 10 if you know
Yeah.
what you're doing. And then it's like 10 more hours to you get a nice story, and there's some cool lore stuff in the new expansion. But yeah, it's a genuinely
Or
good story, and then but you
give
still
them
both.
money, then you just do it instantly.
So even if you buy the boost, do they still make you do through the story campaign? So there's like
That makes you do
no,
it still.
yeah. So
That's
you
cool.
they so like at least for one character, you need to play through the campaign
I
of the
see.
most current expansion. They don't make you do with other ones, of course. It's not Final Fantasy 14 where they're
Well,
like,
okay, so they do cut out like a massive portion of the experience, though, if
oh
you give them
yeah.
money.
Yeah, they cut out
Gotcha.
the yeah, they cut out the like 1 to 70, which is like, you know, because what they do now is when you make a new character, you don't do what 14 does or old WoW used to, where you have to play through all the expansions. You go through the starting zone, which is 10 levels, and then you pick an expansion to level through, and that's your level 11 to 70 experience.
Oh, I see.
So you get like one cohesive thing for a while. Yes.
Yeah, but it's just evidently faster. You're rushing to the end
Oh
because
yeah, like it
that's where
just
the game is.
yeah, like you're like even that's why I even tell new people is like when my girlfriend started playing, I was like, okay, play Newbie Island so you know how the game
Yeah.
works. We'll go through like some early game stuff a little bit after that, and then like we'll use the boost and then we can teach you from there. Like
Yeah,
it's
and Diablo 3, that was incredibly prevalent. You know, there is no game aside from the end game in Diablo 3.
Diablo 4 is the same way. Like my girlfriend and I
Yeah.
played through the Diablo 4 campaign, and we're like, you know, and we played through the expansion campaign too, and we're like, this is so like we had the difficulty entirely maxed for that what you can do before finishing the campaign, and we're like, this is still way too easy. Like we're just melting everything we touch.
It was not particularly difficult.
You know, like, and that's not fun, like because you're not like thinking it's not an adventure. It's just okay. You pull them all in with your attack, and I'm gonna whirlwind, and we're gonna do this over and over and over again until we get to the part of the game that's actually fun.
Yeah,
Yeah.
my big thing about Diablo 4 over Diablo 3 is I literally just enjoyed the narrative more.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it is a better story.
Diablo 3, I hated the narrative vehemently. I mean, I played it when I was very young, and like it was just a whole thing amongst me and my friends that we all hated the story of Diablo 3, but we'd play the game.
What's your opinion on Path of Exile? Path of Exile 2.
Path of Exile 2 is evidently really interesting on account of the fact that it's taking a much slower approach to combat. Like, you know, boss fights are like they're kind of soulsy, from what I've seen. And that's good to me. I like that. I think that it provides more opportunity for your good character build to like actually feel good because it's taking down what was originally difficult content that was like actually execution-wise difficult content and making it easy. And then also on the high end, it allows you to engage in difficult content where the numbers have been scaled up such that that original challenge is maintained and that your skill can be displayed. I think that Path of Exile 1 was certainly interesting, but it just felt like Diablo. Like I was playing like a Diablo. It felt similar to Diablo 3 in like how it felt while I was playing it. It didn't feel as much like a Diablo 2, but it's clearly much more inspired by it. I do find its efforts to make a much more in-depth and complicated system of character building to be admirable and cool. And those original ideas are great. And seeing Path of Exile 2 kind of maintain that, it's simpler for its leveling than the previous games, but not even remotely simple comparison to its compatriot of Diablo. So I think they're fascinating games. I don't have the life left in my body to play them.
Okay. I have considered trying Path of Exile 2. I saw like the footage, and my girlfriend and I got like she seems pretty done with Diablo, And I'm like, I could give Path of Exile a shot, right?
If you
Right?
play a Diablo, like a Diablo 4, then I think Path of Exile is certainly worth a shot. I have not played Path of Exile 2 personally because I'm actively avoiding it. But I think it seems like a good game, and it definitely has the support because I know the Path of Exile 1 has an incredible amount of support behind it, and there's a very active community. So like there's a lot worth engaging with in Path of Exile. In fact, Path of Exile 1 is still getting active support and still has an active community. And it's just taking a completely different development path to Path of Exile 2.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, yeah, but I agree with the guy. Like, it feels like most RPGs are a lot more hand-holding now. And not just ARPGs, but definitely ARPGs. And I feel like part of the reason I liked Dragon's Dogma 2 last year a lot is that like it didn't do that. It was just like, no, figure it out, dickhead.
I believe there is a subtle internal genre shift, a split, where they're still both called ARPGs, but I think that many years of extremification of genres is going to result in people kind of making a distinguished, name between these ARPGs that are like go, 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 accelerate, fucking destroy a million enemies instantaneously, and these slower, more difficult ARPGs. Well, I call them more difficult. On a whole, they might not be more difficult, but they give more weight to the individual enemy.
I would argue that Dragon's Dogma is not nearly as hard as people make it out to be. Like,
Yeah, no, I didn't actually have a hard time at any point in Dragon's Dogma.
I definitely had parts where like I was on the struggle bus for a little bit, but not anything that was too crazy. Anyway.
I mean, I'm a psycho, so I immediately made myself insanely powerful and did everything to become super strong. So I never had a hard time at any point in the game.
See, I'm the opposite person where I'm like, that's just the suggested level, right?
No, I gotta nuke the first boss. I gotta just bring calamity and destruction to the nearest small goblin, before they even know I exist.
See, I am Mr. I didn't hear no bell. All right. Well, anyway, before we get into the next news story, hey, if you like that, you should like and subscribe and follow us. And we're on social media and have a Discord. You should go all those places. Super Gamecraft. Follow, like us, come chat with us about games every single day in that Discord. We got some speedrunners going through Castlevania right now. We got people doing fighting games, Marvel Rivals, all that good shit. Anyway, hey, our last news story. Our last news story is,
Valve.
sorry, what?
It's Valve.
It's Valve! Valve
They're
is out
coming.
here banning all Steam games that force players to watch advertisements. Valve has implemented new rules around advertising, explicitly prohibiting games that force players to watch in-game ads. The new rule from Valve, available online and first reported by Gaming on Linux, confirmed that whilst cross-promotion and product placement are permitted, games that force players to watch or engage with advertising in order to play are not. Nor should developers use advertising as a way to provide value to players, such as giving players rewards for watching or engaging with advertising in their game. I'll read the rest in a minute, but yeah, fuck this phone game bullshit. Good on Valve. Good on.
An interesting side effect of this is that some games that have been, toying with the idea of doing things like, oh, can we put in-game banner ads that update when advertisers, pay us money? Steam, as such a massive force, has effectively nipped that concept in the bud by making this policy change because no major developer is stupid enough to put a thing in their game that will make it so it can't release on Steam unless they have some exclusive deal to not be on Steam. Similarly, RuneScape, as we spoke about earlier, has had a major controversy in the last couple weeks because There was something toyed around with in a survey that they sent out about adding in-game ads to RuneScape as part of lowering your subscription price to the premium content in the game. And there was just a massive upset about that. And that's not going to happen now for sure, not only because people are upset, but because they're on Steam and they really want to stay on Steam.
Yes. Well, I feel like if you are not on Steam, it just kneecaps you. Like, I know so many people who didn't play Alan Wake 2 because it's on Epic Game Store. Like, I
Yeah,
feel
I mean,
like.
part of the reason I didn't.
Yes, but I mean, you have an Xbox, play there. It's a good game.
Yeah, you know, I
It's a good
gotta
game.
turn
I think like the only reason I use my Xbox these days is to literally just play Game Pass games on my television.
I have repurchased games that I have on my Xbox for my PC. So I didn't want to get the Xbox. I don't want to do that.
I get it. Going forward, Valve says developers should not use paid advertising as a business model in their games, such requiring players to watch or engage with advertising in order to play or gating gameplay behind advertising. If your game's business model relies on advertising on other platforms, you will need to remove those elements before shipping on Steam. Some options you could consider include switching to a single purchase paid app or making your game free to play with optional upgrades sold via microtransactions or DLC. Well, so yeah. I think this is good. We don't need this phone game bullshit on
Yep.
Steam. I think
It's
that.
preemptively vaporized an entire market of like shovelware developers.
I think that Steam already has a massive shovelware bullshit problem, and you
Totally
don't
does.
need to make it worse.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately, if I did not have a bunch of filters built into the Steam store for myself, it would just be, it's just filled with crap. Just to
I
piles
don't have
and
a
piles
bunch of
of.
filters.
Oh,
Filled with crap.
and yeah, I bet it is just probably a giant mountain of pig shit.
Yeah, there's my recommended page, like right on the front, and that's pretty good. And then you don't look anywhere else. Don't think about that.
Yeah, my recommended page isn't too bad. Sometimes it's like weird. Like right now it's telling me Metaphor. Okay, sure. Mortal Kombat 1? Sure. I'm Gotham Knights? No. No, thank you.
Yeah, everything's good until I get down to the actual like, okay, here's you can just look at lists of games, and then I get, you know, Civ 7, you know, Civilization 7, Door Kickers 2, Reality Breaks, and then Sex Girls with 3 X's. And Karage Life, which I can't see any of the screenshots of because they all contain mature content. And Big Helmet Heroes. So like yeah, it's filled with slop.
You should getting some filters up and running, my man.
You can't use that feature at all.
Oh, that's all right. Well, that's oh God.
Yep.
I all these stores are cesspits. Like all of them.
Well,
Like
you know, it's the effect of economic incentive. You know, you if you develop something cheaply and you're able to make a return on your development costs and your time, you have no reason not to make the slop.
Well, yes. Like I understand from the developer standpoint, but and like from Steam standpoint, like you don't get a benefit from having this on here. This does not
Absolutely
help
untrue.
you.
They get a massive benefit from having it on there. They get a portion of the sales of the slop.
Who's buying this law? And
Enough
like
people to make it economically worth selling.
God, that's so
If
depressing.
it's economically worth selling for trash developers, it's economically worth taking 30% of for Steam.
That's so depressing. Like, you know,
It's the same reason they had a gambling and stock markets on. It's totally bad for their reputation. It's bad for the platform. It's bad for everyone engaging with it. but makes Steam money. Makes Steam money, and it makes the people running it money.
And on Steam, I'm a little more accepting of it just because it, like, they have really good filters and like there's a bunch of benefit, and like the PC is kind of the Wild West, like, fine. I'll suck it up
Yeah,
and deal with
there's
it.
tons of quality of life existing on Steam to allow people to avoid this. And the reason that is because including that quality of life and allowing people to avoid it makes it so that they can continue engaging with letting it happen because it makes them money. And they don't
See,
want to stop it because they want the money still.
where it doesn't make sense to me is like this is on the eShop and the PlayStation, and like one of the big benefits of buying a console is like things are curated. Like, you buy a console because you know it works, and like most of the games for on it are gonna meet a bare minimum level of quality. So like, but then I'll go on and the Nintendo Switch eShop or the PlayStation Store. This is as much of a problem on the Xbox for some reason, and I don't know why.
Wrong. You just don't see it, but they're there.
Oh, they're there?
They
Is
they're really good at
Microsoft?
not showing you, but you can absolutely purchase Hypersphere 2
I'm.
on the Xbox and see an awful, awful game with just stolen assets. The main girl telling you things in the game is just stolen from an anime. They're there. They're just far less promoted by the Microsoft Store because the Microsoft Store is a lot better at curating things.
Yeah, okay, then fine. Do that. Dear fucking God, do that, please. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. Like, okay, fine. Well, I will come to this middle ground if you like this money. I understand you like this money. Fine. I've accepted that. I understand. Then just do what Microsoft does, where you hide it so I don't log into the goddamn eShop and it's just like, here's the big titty anime game.
Such ubiquity can only be explained by positive effects for those who have the power to control its presence. And it's evident that all of the people that run a digital marketplace that sells video games make money when someone opens up their platform and there's just giant breasts thrust into their face immediately, and they are incentivized to make a poor decision with $8.
All right. That just, God damn it. Just, just.
And if you observe the changes in the trends of these kinds of games, before Steam allowed pornography, there was an era of the garbage game that was effectively YouTube clickbait for a video game. You would have Anime Girl Kills Hitler 3. There's no two other games, but the title being strange in and of itself and it being $3 is the reason that people purchase it. And
I'm
then they effectively just have $3 taken from them because this person purchased $200 worth of Unity assets like 3 years ago, and they've made 80 games with it that are all the same thing with like very minor changes and like minutes of gameplay available to them. And that was massive on Steam. And then they allowed
Just
adult content, and now it's all a ton of porn games. Those, as it turns out, make a bunch of money because people who are vulnerable to that exact same behavior of being willing to purchase something suddenly for like whatever, are also totally willing to buy a porn game because they see it and they're like, I don't know. And like that same market of people is even more susceptible to this new thing, and so that's huge on Steam. And you can still see those things on things like the Switch, where you have these super low quality games that were just pumped out with like barely any effort and a micro budget of like $0.
I just I have exactly what I want to say on the screen right now. That's where I'm at. God damn it. Anyway.
We live in a world that is a series of consequences from decisions made,
Oh.
and this is no different.
Just it's so depressing. Anyway, hey, if you still have the will to live, you should give us a follow and a like and a subscribe and keep this YouTube dream alive for us. We love you very much. We'll be back
Yeah.
tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And yeah, have a good night, guys. Bye. We love you.
Bye.
Bye. Have a wonderful time.